On this episode of Still Loading, they're creepy and they're kooky. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome back to the newest episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode, we are talking about the game Fester's Quest for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And to join me for this episode, it is my friend Casey.
Hey everyone, how are you doing?
And you will hear Casey again next week for another special episode, but you'll just have to wait to hear that. And like I said, we're covering the game Fester's Quest for the NES. This is the next release in the 40 for 40 series that I've been doing. So let's just dive right in. What I always like to do, Casey, since you haven't been on the 40 for 40 series yet, is let's talk about the box art. So the first thing I would like to say, it is fucking terrifying.
What is he even he looks like Curly from the Three Stooges.
It looks like he... I don't know how to describe this, but the best way I can, I guess, sum it up is that it looks like he has a bizarre amount of lipstick on his lips, and it looks like someone just, like, I don't know how to say this without sounding, like, mean or something like that. I don't necessarily say mean. I don't mean in a negative way, but it looks like someone, like, just jabs, like, poked him up the butthole. But, like, he's clearly not, like, you see what I mean? Like, the left side of his face is cringing. Maybe not getting poked on the butthole, but maybe, like, maybe having a stroke. I don't know. It doesn't look good, though. Something that he's not enjoying. And there's a spider coming. Maybe he's just afraid of the spider. I don't know.
I don't get it. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, but okay, it is what it is.
It's a very strange picture on the box. And then you see the Addams Family house in the back. Oh, yeah, and for those who don't know, Fester's Quest is about Uncle Fester from the Addams Family. Why they developed a game for the Nintendo Entertainment System, about the Addams Family. This came out in 1989. The Addams Family was popular in the 60s and early 70s. So what child in the 80s was like, man, I could use some Festers? I guess they were on in reruns, but I still don't think it was, like, absurdly popular. Like, if I was a kid, and I was born, you know, in 89, so it's a little bit past me, but if I was a kid, I knew who the Addams Family were. I mean, I saw reruns as well, but seeing a game like this, I can't imagine enjoying it.
I mean, my guess is because it was a popular show back then, and because video games were basically revived after the video game crash of 83 because of the Nintendo, they wanted to cash in on it. And they clearly didn't do a very good job.
I guess so. So the next thing I always like to do, Casey, is I like to read the manual as well as the back of the box. Mm-hmm. So, because generally a lot of these games, as people who've been listening know, there's not a lot to talk about with them. So I try to, like, really spread this out and actually find some interesting things about it. So let's begin. So the back of the box says, it's just a kidnapping of an entire city by an alien UFO. Will Fester sit still for this? The quest begins. For starters, take on slime replicators, skeeters, globules, and giant scorpions. What the hell is a skeeter? I mean,
I think I know.
I mean, you could make that. That's not child appropriate. Your health is at stake. I would hope so. what kind of a game is it if there's... Anyway, not to mention your life. Will you whip the alien bosses or will they whip you? And if I sound weird reading this, it's because the text on the box art is very hard to read because there's lightning bolts going through it. Like, look at this. See what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Why would they do that?
It's not well designed. So the back of the box is generally pretty... Like, it's got a kind of dark, almost a little darker than navy blue color to it, and there's orange text on the back of it. Problem is, there's bright white lightning going through various portions of the text, so it makes it very difficult to be able to read it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the bottom, the last three? I read these top three. What does the last three say?
It says, "Lucky for you, this is a family affair." And what a family. Find your way... Oh, yeah, you're not kidding. Find your way to thing, and help is right around, right at hand. In trouble? Just ring for Lurch. He'll give you... Right. He'll give those aliens trouble with a capital L.
Wait, trouble with a capital L?
Yeah. Oh, wait. For Lurch, I guess.
Oh. Okay, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're trying too hard. The fate of the whole city is in your hands, and we save the worst for last.
All right, so that gives us, I mean, once again, and we just played this about a couple, you know, about 30 minutes ago or so, and we go into these games with no either with very limited knowledge to it. Now, some of the games I have covered, I have played before. DuckTales, you know, last episode, as well as, like, I've played Ghost and Goblins before, and I've played Castlevania before. So you do have, some of these games we do go in with some semblance of understanding what the mechanics and type of game it's going to be. I didn't really know what to expect for Faster's Quest, because I did watch the AVGN video a while ago, but it's been a good number of years since that game, or since that video. So let's see what the game manual has to say about it. The game story: the Addams family are not very strange. It's a bold-faced lie, but are not very strange. In fact, they are quite smart. Why is that? Those two aren't.
They're not. There's no correlation.
Yeah, there's no correlation. They're not mutually exclusive. Right. You can be strange and smart at the same. Whatever.
That's usually the common thing.
Yeah. You see, it was Mama who always warned of the alien UFO coming to invade their city. All the other Addams thought she was crazy, but Mama, using her crystal ball, put a protective spell on the Addams family house. As Uncle Fester was moonbathing one night, the fabled UFO appeared and beamed all the people in the town up. When the aliens scanned the Addams house for life forms, they found none, thanks to Mama's spell. It is Gomez who must protect the Addams house, so Fester took his trusty gun and set out on a quest to rescue all the townspeople from the alien UFO. Now, I'm expecting you to get comments on this, but maybe you know, Casey. Did Fester have a gun in the show? I watched this, like, five times. I don't remember it.
I couldn't tell you. I don't think he did. I never really watched it, but I'm going to assume no, he did not.
Anyway, outside street scene, as it says as the header for this. As Fester goes about his mission, he will find several houses and buildings which he may enter to gain useful items from. Sorry, that was just a weird sentence. Gain useful items from. Also, along the way are various enemy creatures which Fester must destroy. Some creatures will turn into useful items when destroyed. Sorry. The sentence structure, I feel like they're going on to some other point and then they just stop. It's always like, I feel like the sentence, it's not like short. It's not like an abrupt, it's just abrupt in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I feel like they could have added more to the sentence. Anyway. And my grammar's shit, so don't take my advice for this anyway. In order to reach all parts of the outside street areas, you must enter the underground via a stairway or sewer cover. And then it goes into underground sewer covers and blah, blah, blah. So, reading through this, I actually read through this a little bit after we played. Like I said, we go in with no idea of it. I was unaware of this, but because there's game hints. Make sure to pick up all items to get fully stocked. Understandable, right? Use a turbo type of joystick for rapid fire. That would have been nice. I mean, I don't have a turbo one, but with rapid fire joystick, you can shoot and destroy the slime replicator. What a lame name for an enemy. But the one that always surprised me, remember, avoid red gun and whip items. I did not know that. Apparently, those will power down your weapon.
Oh.
I mean, I guess it would make sense, red bad, blue good, but that's not shown at all.
Nope.
Through the gameplay. But all right, so let's get into the gameplay then. So, in your opinion, did you like it?
Short answer, no, I did not. I thought the controls were stiff and enemies took a little bit much to actually be killed, but I honestly thought the game had potential. I thought it had potential, but it just didn't deliver for me.
I was surprised with the controls. I actually didn't mind them as much as you did. What I did complain about, my big complaint with the controls is, not necessarily the controls, but the fact that when you shoot, it's not shooting from the center of Fester. It's a little bit to your left, his right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it bothers me because whenever you face different angles, you have to adjust for that. Now, what is cool, they do kind of compensate it later on. If you upgrade the gun enough, then it's no longer just shooting a straight bullet line. As you saw when I was playing, we got an upgrade to do kind of like a zigzag wave type of thing.
And the thing is, too, because he's holding the gun in the center of his body, it would make sense for it to shoot in the center, but strangely enough, it's a little bit to his right or our left and vice versa.
Well, I wouldn't say it's in his center. He's holding it to on his hip, so that's why it's to his right or left or whatever.
Right, that makes sense.
It is weird that, like, because most times you would just have it, like, you know, like center, like you see in almost every other video game with a shooting mechanic. I didn't like that. That was my biggest complaint. I guess the other part is that it doesn't really give you a lot of direction, but to its credit, without any prior knowledge, I was able to kind of figure out some stuff just through trial and error in a relatively short amount of time.
Right. Now, luckily, this is the type of game where you can actually do that kind of thing and get far ahead just by playing around with it, like you said, by trial and error. You know, luckily, it's not as difficult as, you know, Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest, where you have to do, like, the most ridiculous things that no one would ever think about.
It's very, what is it? Esoteric.
Absolutely.
Which I was very proud of myself. That's my new vocab word of the week, for those who don't know, and that's not me. I'm not describing this for those who
did
to make me sound smart. I literally did not know what it meant up until this week, and it means something. It's a concept that would be understood by very few.
Very few.
So,
yeah. Do you watch Family Guy at all?
Not frequently anymore. I used to, though.
Gotcha. There was this one scene where Peter wanted to sound smart, I think it was, and Lois is, I'm like, oh, Peter, that's very esoteric, and he's like, Lois, esoteric is not a food. So just reminded me of that right now.
Oh my god, that's really good. There's something else that reminds me of that type of joke where someone doesn't understand, like, I don't know, like a vocab word or something. I don't know. My other favorite vocab word, I never use it in, like, any type of normal semblance of a sentence or social gatherings or anything like that, but it's defenestrate, and it means to throw out a window. So if I defenestrate you, I am throwing you out a window. Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard that. It sounds like castrate, so it makes a lot of people, puts a lot of people on edge, because obviously no one wants to be castrated.
No.
But defenestrate, yeah, it means to throw out a window. And funny story about that. I don't care if this doesn't have anything to do with Fester's Quest. I like this story. I was working at a grocery store at the time, and my friends and I were all talking about, like, because one of the conversation things I always like to bring up with friends is, like, what's that one vocab word? Everyone has that one vocab word they like to rock someone with. Be like, look how smart I am, you know? Mine is apparently now esoteric, but, and in any case. So I was talking about the defenestrate because it was that one too. Ubiquitous is another good word.
Oh, yeah, that's, tell me, that's all over the place. Not kind of like ever.
Ever found. So, like, Mario is ubiquitous for video games. It's ever found, ever present, whatever. But in any case. So we're talking about that, and I talk about the defenestrate, and they laugh at it, like, who would ever use that in an actual real life situation? Like, I don't know, just say throw out a window. It's easier than saying defenestrate. So we're done our shift, though, and we're walking out, and we're just talking, and two random guys come up to us and go, hey, do you know what the word defenestrate means? And the three of us look at each other. We just start laughing. Like, yeah, it means to throw out a window. And he turns to his friend, just points in his face, goes, ha, fuck you, and just walks off.
Holy crap.
The whole thing.
What are the odds?
I know, right? Oh, my God, I was laughing. We still laugh about that. Like, it was just so random.
Well, I mean, honestly, I want to defenestrate this game after playing it.
I don't believe it. And bringing us back to the game, then, so we can defenestrate. What is interesting, though, is the way the game works. So you, other than it's just pretty much, it's a top-down shooter. Apparently, there is some, I watched a playthrough of it afterwards. There's, like, a 3D, like, hallway thing, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. there is, here, I can show you a picture of it real quick, but it's very, like, old school 3D. Like, it's not true 3D, it's just different images on the screen that it brings up, but it makes you feel like you're going down a 3D hallway, which is kind of cool. Which some NES games do, but not many.
Yeah, I think Swords and Serpents is a game that does this, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. I haven't played that one, so...
Yeah, I think Friday the 13th is another one.
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure that one was by Sunsoft as well. I could be... No,
I think that was LJN.
LJN.
Yeah, the lovely LJN.
As made famous by ABGN.
Yep.
But, all right, so... Well, what's cool, though, is as you defeat enemies, you pick up different items, and those items can be used for various things to unlock. You get keys to unlock doors, so, and each door you unlock, it leads you to a different member of the Addams Family, or, like, from the cast of the show, and they give you different items. So, like, the first time you unlock a door, Pugsley gives you a bunch of TNT. Wednesday Addams will give you a vice grip, which I don't know what it's for, but you get a vice grip. You get other items such like you can get other things such as that. Items you can get from regular enemies are things like money, which I guess you can use to buy hot dogs from the hot dog stands, or I believe refresh your health. I was at full health when I was using it, but it would make the most sense. And then you can also get light bulbs to illuminate the dark sewers.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of like the control screen. So you hit start to look at the item screen. You move the cursor around, and when you hit start again, that's the item that's now... Whatever item the cursor was left on is now assigned to the A button. So you hit the A button to do that, and B will shoot. So, and yeah, that, I mean, there's not... I actually liked the mechanics of it, but there wasn't much else to it. I mean, what was your impressions of, like, the, was it satisfying to kill the enemies at least?
Yeah, definitely that. Like I said, the only qualm that I have is sometimes it takes way too long to kill an enemy, unnecessarily long. But it's one of those games too, just like any other NES game, where I bet it takes like 40 minutes to an hour to beat, but because it's very difficult.
The playthrough I watched was about an hour long.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say this, the boss fights are long.
Are they?
Not because they're necessarily difficult, they're just a slugfest. I was watching this, the guy who was playing, he was wailing on this boss for easily 10 minutes.
Jeez.
And just do-do-do-do-do, and with a turbo button, nonetheless. I can only imagine how long it would take with that.
He's just basically avoiding just attacks, projectiles.
And all the attacks are is just, it shoots lightning bolts out in down the middle and down like 45 degree angle, so it's like a little triangle thing.
Sounds pretty,
and you can just dodge in between.
Easily avoidable.
It's very easily avoidable. Excuse me. The only times it isn't is when he gets up close to the edge of the screen, so you're kind of backed up into a corner, so you kind of have to kite him around. It looks like, but I don't know if you kite the boss around, because I didn't get up to that boss, so I just watched the playthrough. So I don't know if you're the one kiting the boss around, or he just is on his own little world, and you just have to react to it. So I don't know if you're creating his moves, or you're just reacting to his, but... yeah, so there's really not much to it. In terms of the graphics are fine. They're nothing special. They're not the ugliest I've seen on the NES, but they're also nowhere near the nicest.
Truth. Yeah, it's pretty much the standard at that point.
Well, if you think about 89, that's when Super Mario Bros. 3 came out.
Yeah.
At least in America. But Mario Bros. 3 also was running on an additional chip in the NES cartridge.
Truth. Yeah, there are a lot of factors to take into consideration, but overall, I'm kind of with you there. I mean, we were just discussing the music, and the music's really not that bad.
It gets calling. You're right. I mean, we were discussing before we recorded, but
yeah.
The music was surprisingly good. It was a little repetitive, but the composition actually was kind of fun to listen to, and the arrangement they used for the Addams Family theme song was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
it didn't hurt your ears, weren't bleeding after finishing it.
Yeah, it's not like you know, Back to the Future with the the loop. Okay. The like 4 second loop.
I don't know what game developers are thinking when they're like, no, it would be a good idea, let's have this same thing repeat every 4 seconds. That'll be fantastic. It's horrible. But graphics are good, music's pretty solid, the gameplay, our graphics are fine. I shouldn't say good. Graphics are fine. Music's actually pretty good. Gameplay, that's more subjective. It's in between. It works. It kind of doesn't work. It's more boring than anything else. The gameplay itself is fine. It doesn't do anything special. It's just kind of boring because you do the same thing over and over and over again. There's no real break in the monotony of it. But so other than that, I mean, that's about what I got on the game. Do you have any other like kind of final like thoughts on it? I mean, we're pretty much wrapping up now. So
I mean, I think it's one of those things too that it gets a little bit more hate than it does. I mean, I know I just said that I would throw it out the window, but no, I was being a little bit I was exaggerating a little bit with that. But in the long run, it's okay. I mean, if I was a kid back in the day, I wouldn't be too thrilled if I paid full price for it or if I got it as a gift. But looking back today and playing it today, I mean, it is what it is. I know AVGN has a cult following, and he reviewed one of these games. But I think that he even thinks that it's not as bad as he even made it out to be. I mean, that's a shtick, so.
Yeah, a lot of his stuff is, like, yeah. He did the same thing even with Mario Bros. 3. I mean, that's a fantastic game, but he still found, I mean, there's always going to be flaws with every game, but.
Right.
And Sunsoft isn't the worst developer. I mean, they made the Batman game for the NES.
Mm-hmm.
I also think they did Blaster Master, if I remember correctly, but I don't know what year Blaster Master came out.
Does that involve the light gun?
No, Blaster Master was...
maybe I'm thinking of Road Blaster.
No, Blaster Master was an interesting... It was a platformer, sort of, like, you would... I don't remember the name of the character, because I barely played the game, but you basically take control of this little guy, and you hop in a little, like, dune buggy type of thing,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually platform with it. Like, it hops and jumps and stuff like that, and you will get out of the vehicle so you can get into, like, caves and stuff that the buggy doesn't fit into. So it kind of has a different... It kind of, like, I don't know how to describe it. As Wikipedia describes it, Blaster Master is a platform run-and-gun video game and released by Sunsoft for Nintendo. Yeah, Sunsoft, I was right. And it was localized, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, so it's a shoot-em-up type of thing, but it's also got some platforming elements. My biggest complaint with that game, and I do want to cover it at some point, very easy to get hit with fall damage. And it's relentlessly difficult. It's one of the most tough. It's one of the toughest games on the NES. What's strange is while that's considered a masterpiece, that came out in 1988. Fester's Quest a year later came out. Fester's Quest, also by Sunsoft, came out a year later, and that's not nearly as good. So I wonder. I don't know what happened.
I don't
to them.
Understand with those types of things either. Like I know I'm segueing off of this.
No, that's fine.
But like Super Castlevania IV came out in 1991. And Castlevania Dracula X came out in 1995, I think. Honestly, I thought Dracula X was like such a step down from Super Castlevania IV.
Well, I mean, it was very much a return to the original Castlevania form in the fact like you couldn't whip in, you know, multiple directions. You were jumping,
which
you were locked into a jump.
Which is fine, but I just thought in terms of the controls.
Mm-hmm.
But music and visualization on point. But
graphics, yeah.
That's beside the point.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up this episode of Still Loading. Thank you all for listening. Get ready for next week's episode. I think it's going to be a good one. Thank you again, Casey, for joining me for this one, and as well as you'll hear in the next one.
It's always a blast. Thank you for having me.
So you can find me. Oh, please rate, review, and subscribe. That helps get the show out there so more people can listen to it. Thank you all for listening. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, @StillLoadingPod on each of them. And Casey, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram. I post a lot of my video game collections. It's Kazuya Kane. That's KazuyaKan as in November, E.
All right. Kazuya Kane. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for listening and be excited for next week. There will actually be another episode next week. You're not going to have to wait 2 weeks for this one, guys. So thank you all for listening, and I will see you all next time.